This is an ABC podcast.
Hello and welcome to another bonus episode of The Book Show. I'm Claire Nichols and Sarah Lestrange is here with me to introduce you to another debut writer. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Claire.
So you've been reading Fusion by Kate Richards. This is a book about conjoined twins. This sounds fascinating.
I know. Isn't it wonderful when writers take you to unexpected places? And here Kate really gets into the minds of her characters, C and Serene, who are the conjoined twins, and she wonders what it's like to have two minds and one body. But she also wants to know what happens when that unity is disrupted.
So how does she do that?
The setup for the novel is that C and Serene live in the Australian alpine wilderness with their cousin. They're mostly self-sufficient, and then one day they take in a badly injured woman, and this intrusion causes big ructions in their lives and forces them to question who they think they are and all that they know and knew about each other.
I've got some interesting facts on Kate for you.
This
is her debut novel, but it isn't the first book she's published. She actually wrote a memoir called Madness about her experience of mental illness. And for her day job, she works in a genetic counselling centre, which is interesting.
Yeah, fascinating combination of skills there. But she says fiction is her first love.
So back to the book. What can you tell me about the style of the writing?
It really uses this very heightened, almost poetic language. But to help out, here's a reading from Kate.
This little excerpt is when the twins and their cousin Wren are taking care of an injured stranger who has unceremoniously arrived in their very isolated wilderness home, and the twins are attempting to take care of her and to nurse her back to health. As she falls asleep, hours later, we stand up all stiff and sore and tiptoe toward the kitchen. Look back at her closed eyes as we go, and we're smiling at last, not watching where we're going. Bring our left foot down on top of our right and fall straight into the side of the doorframe. One head hitting the wood, hard. The first fire of pain and a responding fizz of adrenaline along our nerves, to both our hearts so we know exactly how bad it is without seeing or speaking. We crouch low through the nausea and the bang, bang, bang inside our heads, and then we stand up again silent, clench-fisted, and pad onward into the kitchen. Breathe in and out. Breathe in and out, out, out. There are no words that we know for the majority of our feelings, the fleeting instants of them, their electricity, the movement of molecules, the fever, a whoosh of things reacting. There are no words for them that we know, but they are represented in lightning and fierce wind, and of course in fire. We look into flames like a fortune teller might and say, there, that flame and that one, our body, our minds, that flame is where feeling meets in us. All our senses finely tuned inward toward one another, and then coarsely tuned outward toward the world. One of our eyes sees perfectly in the dark, and three see everything blurry, whether it's day or night. We hear each other like animals hear predators, even more acutely than they do, perhaps. We hear each other thinking. It's graceful, intuitive, rhythmic, precious. So precious that it does not bear further examination.
That does give me a real sense of the book. I find it just so interesting that Kate Richards has set herself this task of thinking about the life of conjoined twins.
Yes, and that's how the idea for the book came into being, as a thought experiment, as Kate explains.
It started for me with a series of questions to which I had no answers, but which I was really interested in and always had kind of been fascinated by. And in the beginning, it was this quote that I found, which is, "Inside every person you know, there's a person you don't know," which is wonderful and true. But I started to think about whether that would be the case with, first I thought about identical twins, but then of course the wonderful thing about fiction is you can take it anywhere. And so I thought, I suppose, how could I encapsulate that, the drama of it, the intense emotion of it, even more than identical twins? And that's where the idea of the conjoined twins came from initially. So this is going back about 4 years now, because they're existing within one body, but they have two completely separate personalities. And I think that situation to me, the possibilities that it could bring up for a writer, enormous.
So how did you get into that world? How did you imagine their world of one body, two brains?
Probably spent about, I'd say, a good 6 months thinking about it and researching before I wrote down a single word. And there's an enormous amount of research online, as you can imagine, and there are some conjoined twins in America who've recorded their own story and given interviews, and there are YouTube videos of them. There's also an extensive scientific literature. But the thing I found interesting about that was that there was a lot in the literature about their physiology, so about how their organs functioned, whether they had two hearts or one heart, how their legs worked, how their neuronal system, their nerves were kind of set up.
And there's all these diagrams to show how the body fits together.
Yeah, and how they might have come to be formed when they were in utero. But what really fascinated me was a lot more about their psychological being and their emotional being. So I think I had that background research, but then that's where the imagination came in for me. It was really imagining what that might be like. And of course, I couldn't possibly say that I got it right. There probably isn't a right or wrong. But that's my imagining then became this story.
Let's talk about the story of Fusion, Kate. C and Serene live far from other communities because of the hideous treatment they received at a place called Hope Home, which was actually the opposite of Hope. What happened to them there?
When they were born, their mother died in childbirth, and their father was so horrified by this two-headed baby that he left. So the twins were taken to Hope Home, which, if you think back to sort of the 1940s or 50s, these kinds of places, or even 60s, certainly existed in Australia and elsewhere. The thing that these twins face, which is kind of double suffering, is that they suffer at the hands of the staff, but they also suffer at the hands of the other children. So even the other children there ridicule them. So for the twins, the idea of escape from this and from any kind of connection with other people is paramount.
And so they end up in this pristine wilderness. Describe the setting where they live now.
They live in the southeastern Australian alpine wilderness. It's an area of Australia that I love dearly, and I've spent a lot of time there.
Well, that reverence certainly comes through.
Yeah, and I think reverence is the right word, and I think the twins sort of see it as a place of divinity, and I suppose for me it probably is as well. And they live with their cousin, Wren, who is also running away, but where the twins are running away from the people that they have been living with at Hope Home, Wren is really running away from himself. So the three of them live there, and they have this really quite, I don't know if happy is the word, but certainly contented life. And so it's not until this injured stranger is suddenly thrown into their midst that things get challenging.
Well, it raises a lot of questions for them because, as you say, they were content in their place, and then this intruder forces them to think about who they are and where they are in the world. And do C and Serene actually connect in the way that they thought they connected?
Yes, exactly. And that's the key dilemma that I'm working through. I think the twins thought that their emotional life was absolutely fine, thank you very much. And it's not till one of them falls in love with Christ that they realise actually there's some enormous, enormous differences between them. So from there on, they're faced with this dawning realisation that perhaps this so-called perfect relationship that they have with each other is starting to be threatened.
Well, I want to talk about this concept of ecstatic because I felt like the writing style was ecstatic, very stylized, lyrical, the language is heightened, I guess. How did you arrive at that style of writing?
I wanted their dialogue to be quite staccato-like, I guess, quite choppy, short phrases, because they have this intuitive connection with one another. They don't need to explain things. Then I guess some of the descriptive passages are a bit longer, and there's a sort of, it's almost like gently running water as opposed to the twins, which are more sort of waves crashing onto the shore.
Mm. Can you give an example of that dialogue between C and Serene?
This is from a little later in the book, and the twins are alone and they're talking with each other and trying to sort through some of the things that they now know they probably should have been, I suppose, in conversation with each other about many years ago. Existence is the most complicated thing. Maybe the complicated thing is how hard we keep hold of it. We keep hold of it so hard it hurts. Bruises everywhere. How do we choose what we choose to believe? I don't know. That hurts too. Belief isn't truth. No, it isn't. Is beauty? Truth? Is grace? I don't know. At least we know we don't know, even though it hurts. Conscious unknowing. Being. Is that what life is? Being. A state of conscious unknowing. I guess that's where wonder comes from, don't you think? Wonderment. Wondrousness. Laugh. Ow. Hurts. See. That's the answer. Every day we try to figure out how to re-become ourselves.
I like hearing how Kate Richards imagines the conversation between C and Serene. Now, Sarah, we mentioned Kate already has a memoir under her belt. How different was the process for her to write this debut novel?
Quite different, and the biggest challenge for Kate was writing fiction.
It was far more terrifying to write than the memoir in some ways, and I think that surprised me. And I think fiction is my greatest love to read and always has been. And I think I can say now it's my greatest love to write as well. Although I think sitting down every day to start something or to continue something is one of the hardest things for me to do in the day. And I do feel terrified, and I do have those days where I get to the end and I've deleted more words than I wrote, which is endlessly sad for a writer. But then you end up creating a world that's never quite been thought of in that way before. And for me, and I think for any kind of artist, not just writers, musicians and painters and so on, that's a miraculous thing.
So after Madness, did you already have a book deal lined up? Tell me about the publishing process.
No, I didn't. But I think Penguin Random House had said, what are you writing next? And I said,
because they published Madness.
That's right. And I said, fiction. And so they said, well, when you've got something, give us a look, which I did. So I think I only gave them about 5,000 words, which is a tiny amount, but I also gave them a synopsis. So I said, this is the beginning and this is what I intend will happen and this is why I'm writing this. And these are the things that I'm interested in exploring and this is how I'm going to do it. And they were happy with that. So I signed a contract then for Fusion with Penguin Random House. But it has the caveat in the contract, as they all do, especially for a debut fiction writer, that if the rest of the work is not up to the same standard as the work that you've submitted currently, then they can withdraw the contract. So that kind of does hang over you. And every time you submit some more or you submit a draft, it's always I'm thinking, oh, I know what's going to happen. They're going to call me up and they're going to say, well, you know, good try and well done for having a go, but no thank you. So I think when this eventually sort of turned into an actual book, it's wonderful, but there's also a great deal of relief.
They can't take it away from you now.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And I just hope all the time they don't regret taking it on.
But, I'm sure they won't.
I'm sure they won't too. She's obviously really passionate about writing, isn't she?
Which is why I was interested to hear what advice Kate has for budding writers.
I almost think that there are two ways to approach it, and you have to approach it both ways. One is that publishing is a business, unfortunately for us artists, it is. So if you get feedback, especially if you get similar feedback from multiple places, listen to it, take your time with it, but you need to internalise it, and perhaps, even though it might be very painful, have a go at changing things in the way that has been suggested, because publishers, editors know the market far better than writers do. Even though we think we do, we actually don't know it that well. Always try and keep to deadlines, be polite. I guess that's the business side. And then there's the artistic part of it. And for that, I mean, I really think you just give everything of yourself. Push it as far as you can. Encompass all of the things that you love or you hate or that you're confounded by somewhere in the work. And never, ever give up.
Never give up. Writers always have such lovely advice for each other. Sarah, thank you so much for that interview. That was so interesting.
I really liked speaking to Kate too.
And Kate Richards' book Fusion is published by Hamish Hamilton. Thanks to you for listening to this bonus episode of The Book Show. We make these ones just for you, our podcast listeners. So please do share the love. Maybe you could take the time to rate the podcast or write us a glowing review. It really does help us to get the word out about The Book Show. To finish up today, this is Illuminate by Emma Louise.
At first that was the dark side of the play. Stay inside and be still. Maybe they'll think I'm still the same. Nobody will notice if I
been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.